Do not expect the name of Planned Parenthood to be out of the news for very long over the next couple of years. With a Republican president and a Republican-controlled Congress, the efforts to remove public funding from Planned Parenthood have been taken up again. The principal complaint that Planned Parenthood performs abortions. Now, federal money cannot be used for abortions, but the complaint is always there. And late last week, the House voted to reverse an Obama administration rule that would block states from withholding funding, so it's sort of a block of a block. We'll get into that in detail. There's a lot to sort out, and we asked reps from Planned Parenthood of Southwestern Oregon to help sort it out. Lisa Gardner is the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood of Southwestern Oregon, and she is on the phone with us. Lisa, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Good morning.
Good to have you here. And Sky Lose is with us as well. She's the director of external affairs for Planned Parenthood in Southwestern Oregon, more of a specialist in Rogue Valley affairs. Sky, thank you for joining us in the studio.
This morning.
Okay, so let's start with the simple stuff, Lisa Gardner. Give us the overview. Planned Parenthood, if nobody ever heard of it, does what?
Well, we provide basic health care services to over 40,000 Oregonians every year. We provide birth control, HIV testing. We do men's health care, including vasectomy. Morning after pill are commonly known as emergency contraceptive. We also do pregnancy testing and options. And we do STI testing, treatment, and vaccines. In fact, we are overwhelmingly one of the largest screeners for STIs in the state of Oregon.
And I see, what is it, six different clinics you have?
We have six clinics throughout the Rogue Valley and up in the Willamette Valley as well.
All right, so Grants Pass, Eugene, Springfield, West Eugene, Cottage Grove, Medford, and Ashland.
That's right.
Okay, do you provide abortions in southwestern Oregon?
We do medication abortions out of our Ashland clinic.
Medication as opposed to what?
As opposed to what is commonly known as therapeutic abortion or surgical.
All right. So does that mean no surgical abortions at any of the clinics?
Not in the Rogue Valley.
Mm-hmm. But outside the Rogue Valley?
In the Eugene-Springfield area, we do.
Mm-hmm. So do you get static from members of the community even though several of these centers don't provide surgical abortions?
Well, certainly we hear from folks, as many do across the country, but as I mentioned, we provide over 40,000 visits per year to Oregonians, and less than 1% of the services we provide are abortion care, which is critical care to those who are seeking that. But the majority of the services that we provide are basic health care, and we provide access to those who otherwise can't find that access in their communities.
Elsewhere in the country, I noticed that the figure is actually 3% of all services abortion. I mean, is there another way that if the procedures were counted differently based on hours or some other accounting of it, that the figure would turn up a little differently?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know how they're calculated on a national basis. I know that we provide less than 1,000 abortion care services in our area, and that's less than one half of 1% of the services we provide.
Now, Skylos, between the Medford and Ashland clinics, I mean, how many of those 40,000, and this is all services, 40,000 visits, is it altogether?
40,000 visits affiliate-wide. Mm-hmm. For the Rogue Valley area, we see about 11,000 patients every year.
Mm-hmm. Primarily women?
Yes, primarily women. We don't offer any vasectomy services within our clinics here. We do vasectomy referrals instead to other doctors that we work with.
You know, people go for services, but I know from 30 years plus of living in Southern Oregon that people also visit the clinics for other reasons, sometimes
sure.
To protest, and I wonder how often that's a situation.
You know, we are fortunate in that we do certainly have protests, but not nearly the same extent that other affiliates across the country do. We do see about once a week at our Ashland clinics protesters, and it's usually the same group outside Medford about once a month, and they're never really right in front of our center. They get a higher traffic area in downtown Medford. And because of the location of our Grants Pass clinic, it's sort of out of the way. The protesters go elsewhere, generally in front of the courthouse.
Where is the Grants Pass clinic these days?
It is tucked away on Franklin Street.
Okay. It used to be much more centrally located years ago.
Yes. But it is very much tucked away.
All right. So Lisa Gardner, abortion aside, what is the biggest single service provided by Planned Parenthood of Southwestern Oregon?
Well, about 90% of what we do is basic preventive health care. People come to us for life-saving cancer screenings, well woman exams, birth control, as I mentioned, and testing and treatment of STIs and or sexually transmitted infections. Our country is seeing epidemic numbers increases in STIs, particularly syphilis, and we screen nearly half of the reported STIs in the counties that we serve. So really vital, important preventive care that if not seen with us, there is really limited access for these patients who come to us, and it has lasting and sort of multiplier health impacts in our communities.
I notice we're calling them STIs instead of STDs, so sexually transmitted infections rather than...
That's right.
And diseases, okay. And has that rate been climbing?
That rate has been climbing. It's been climbing astronomically. And in fact, in states that have defunded Planned Parenthood, in particular Mike Pence's state of Indiana, they have seen huge increases in STIs.
Is that pretty much considered a direct correlation when the funding is cut for Planned Parenthood that the STIs take off?
It is, in fact, not just STIs, but other health metrics. In the state of Texas, where Planned Parenthood has defunded and a number of clinics have closed, they have seen huge increases in other health issues. And, in fact, in many of the cities, elected officials who previously were happy to see Planned Parenthood go away are asking for the clinics to come back because the overall health metrics have gone down. So basic overall women's health in particular.
So what does Planned Parenthood charge for? What are the economics of Planned Parenthood, both for the organization itself and for the people who come in to use the services?
Well, I want to say, first of all, we're no different than any other health clinic in that we are a fee-for-service organization. So we have a fee scale, and for Medicaid patients, which are the ones in question when people talk about defunding Planned Parenthood, which is a misnomer, we receive reimbursement for the visits. So if somebody has private insurance, we reimburse through their private insurance, and if they're Medicaid eligible, then we receive Medicaid payments. And so for our affiliate, about 54 to 56% of the visits we see are for Medicaid eligible patients.
And has that number gone up since the Oregon Health Plan expanded its the Medicaid offerings in the state of Oregon?
Yeah, it has gone up, and I actually can't give you a statistic on that, but we do see a higher number. Let's see, in 2015, looks like Medicaid covered 17% of women ages 19 to 64, which is up from 10% in 2008, which is before the Affordable Care Act.
Okay, so things moving up. We are talking to and about Planned Parenthood, especially in southwestern Oregon. Lisa Gardner is the president and CEO of the southwestern Oregon affiliate of Planned Parenthood, with clinics in six different places. Skye Lose is the Director of External Affairs for the same affiliate. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange, 800-838-3760 to come in by phone. Our email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Lisa Gardner, you just said that defunding is a misnomer. What do you mean?
It's a misnomer because we don't receive funding. There's no line item in the federal budget that is going to Planned Parenthood. As I mentioned, we are a Medicaid-eligible provider, and removing that eligibility while targeting a specific political agenda, the end result would be reducing access to thousands of Oregonians.
So since there's no line item that says Planned Parenthood, you're saying it would just be to reduce services for reproductive services, something like that?
And basic preventive screenings, basic preventive health care, as I've mentioned, well woman exams for men. We do vasectomy in some of our clinics, and as Skye mentioned, we do vasectomy referrals in the Rogue Valley. But it reduces the access to the care. So for many people, Planned Parenthood is a trusted, non-judgmental health care provider, and they come to us because they don't have other places to go. And if removing the Medicaid eligibility of Planned Parenthood is successful, the result will be, across the country, millions of people will no longer have access to providers because there just aren't providers with capacity to see them. And in fact, the Congressional Budget Office has estimated that the cost to our country will be over $130 million over 10 years from that reduced access, because those preventative screenings that aren't then catching other issues will then become more expensive health care needs.
So if people wanted to get certain kinds of services, for example, in southwestern Oregon, maybe we had a philosophical opposition to Planned Parenthood, what are the other options they have? Not that it's your business necessarily to know, but I just wonder if you are aware.
Well, I can tell you that what's often spoken about, particularly in the federal dialogue, is the federally qualified health care, FQHCs. And there's conversation about that there are thousands of federally funded clinics waiting to see these patients. And the reality is they don't have capacity.
In other words, they might want to see people, but they don't have any room to take in more patients.
Right. For non-emergent care, to call on any number of providers in our region, it's weeks to months waiting list to get in for various issues that people need to be seen for.
Go ahead, Sky.
And to follow up on that, in the Rogue Valley, there are three federally qualified health centers, which include La Clinica, Siskiyou Community Health, and Rogue Community Health. And if they have, we don't know if they have the capacity to absorb those 11,000 patients we serve. If we were to close our doors, where would our 11,000 patients go? They do have those other three options. But again, as Lisa said, we don't know if they have the capacity to absorb those people that we serve.
All right. So is Planned Parenthood then providing the majority of those services?
Yes, in terms of women care, contraception. We also, the types of birth control we offer, we have a wider selection than those other three clinics I did mention.
All right. I have wondered sometimes, Lisa Gardner, about given that there is such a lightning rod with abortion in any form, whether it's surgical or medical or, and in some cases, even morning after pill and things like that. Has Planned Parenthood examined any possibilities for spinning off the abortion services into some other entity that would sort of put a little more distance between Planned Parenthood proper and its basic health services and that?
I can tell you that we certainly haven't looked at that. I am not aware of any conversations that have happened in other affiliates. The Planned Parenthood brand sort of name is a trusted, non-judgmental healthcare provider that includes abortion access. And as we continue to do the work that we do of providing excellent birth control options, as Sky just referred to, we're experiencing 20-year lows in unintended pregnancies right now. So over time, there's less need for our abortion care services, but it's a critical and vital piece of what we do.
20-year low, you say, in unintended pregnancies?
In the state of Oregon.
In the state of Oregon, okay.
To follow up with that, one of the reasons why we're seeing such low rates also comes from the education services that Planned Parenthood provides. Within the Rogue Valley, we currently go into five different school districts to discuss with youth safer sex, healthy relationships, and by reaching out to youth at a younger age, we're going to give them the knowledge they need to make smart decisions to have protected sex. And by doing so, STI rates go down and abortion rates go down because unintended pregnancies are prevented.
How tricky a walk is that alone, though? Because I remember having this discussion with someone recently about going into a boys' bathroom, I think, in a high school and seeing condoms there, and somebody freaked out about it, or actually would have freaked out about it if they'd been the girls' bathroom was the view of it.
Right, and I can't speak as to whether or not schools in the Valley do dispense condoms in boys' bathrooms as they once did. We certainly make available to any youth or anybody who walks through the door access to free contraception, primarily condoms. Anybody can walk in and grab some if they need to, including youth. We do work with principals and different teachers in the Valley just to make sure we are getting their services to as many youth as possible.
How tricky a line is that to walk? I wonder. What it gets down to is like, well, by telling them that these things are available, you are okaying sex versus explaining what sex is and should it happen, be ready for it.
Sure. We're not saying go have sex, but we are giving them the opportunity to have it safely. Kids are going to do what kids want to do. We have kids that want to rebel against what we're asking them to do or not do. But by, again, giving the means to have sex safely, we're preventing STIs and pregnancy.
We are talking to and about Planned Parenthood here on the Jefferson Exchange, a conversation you're welcome to join with Sky Lose, the Director of External Affairs for Southwestern Oregon Planned Parenthood, and Lisa Gardner is the President and CEO of the same organization. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. How old is Planned Parenthood, Lisa Gardner, and how well ingrained would you say in American life?
Well, nationally, Planned Parenthood has been around for 100 years. We just celebrated 100 years, the centennial for Planned Parenthood Federation. And then Planned Parenthood Southwestern Oregon is 50 years. We're actually in our 51st year. Mm-hmm. We were founded in 1966. So I would say extremely well ingrained and established. And I said it before, but it's worth mentioning again, we are one of the most trusted health care providers in the country. People come to us because they know that they can seek non-judgmental health care. They can, and you know, Sky was just speaking to whether or not providing condoms in any way encourages sexual activity among youth or anybody. And statistically, it doesn't. Statistically, the as I mentioned, we're in experiencing 20-year lows in our unintended pregnancy rates, and that was not the case under abstinence-only states. People do what they want to do, and we are making sure that they have the tools that they need to prevent unintended healthcare outcomes or pregnancy outcomes of their activity. And so we're extremely well-known and trusted, and having been here for 50 years in the state of Oregon, we're fully planning on being here for another 50.
Well, I was just trying to think back to my own memories of Planned Parenthood because I remember going there with my mother as a kid. I was the fourth of four kids, and she decided there wasn't going to be a five and anything beyond that. So, and maybe it's just because they had cool toys in the lobby, but I remember very well going to the Planned Parenthood in Mineola, New York. It seems like it really is a generational thing by now. I mean, it's passed down through the generations.
Absolutely. I mean, in fact, we saw that in the March on Washington, the march in all of our communities, that it was multi-generations of family members who are marching, and it was grandfathers and grandmothers and mothers and dads and young people marching. It's very much a multi-generational thing, and I think that's where people who have come out to express their support and their commitment to seeing Planned Parenthood continue is because of that generational history and how it's helped people at so many different levels. I can't even tell you how many people I hear from, particularly in these last few months. We get donations with handwritten letters talking about many, many different scenarios of how Planned Parenthood was there at just the right time for somebody, for them to be able to live the life that they choose to live and the way that they choose to live it. And, you know, speaking in terms of sort of the 100 years that Planned Parenthood has been around, in the past century, Planned Parenthood has literally transformed women's health and empowered our lives. I mean, as a woman, I can say this, that the ability to make informed decisions about when to have families, when to go to school, when to start working, and the idea that it was sort of a revolutionary idea 100 years ago that women should be able to have the information to make decisions around what kind of lives they want to live. And as a result of that, we have seen huge increases in the numbers of women in the workforce, and of course, more than 50% of college students today are women. And I think none of that would have been possible without Planned Parenthood.
Which again indicates some of the differences as we get into talking about reproductive rights in America, because you just characterized it as women's health, women's control over their lives and bodies, and yet what comes at you from the other end is, but you're killing babies. And I wonder how you reconcile those two.
You know, what I reconcile is that people seek health care. We provide access to health care, and it is up to an individual person to make their own healthcare decisions, and I think that's the only reconciliation that I think about is, without that, how are people empowered to make the decisions that they want to make about their lives?
Much of the recent opposition to Planned Parenthood seemed to pick up intensity and velocity in mid-2015 with the political campaigns going on and Carly Fiorina talking about a video that purported to show Planned Parenthood. Actually, no, she talked about something else, but there were some videos that purported to show people from Planned Parenthood selling body parts. How did the organization respond to that?
You know, the videos of 2015 were extremists who opposed Planned Parenthood's mission and services, and they basically engaged in fraudulent activity to make outrageous and false claims against us. And those have been 100% discredited and disproven. In fact, there were indictments against those who produced those videos. The sort of analysis of those scholars and expertise in medical ethics have asserted that there was nothing wrong with any, nothing has come up as being illegal in anything any Planned Parenthood has engaged in. And our affiliate, of course, does not engage in any way in any kind of fetal tissue research. And so we were not part of that. But really, it's just another tactic to put forward an agenda and create some news and attention to an issue that's politicized. There was no basis of fact in any of that.
I did notice that a year after that news, opinion polls showed just about no change in public opinion of Planned Parenthood. It was 48% positive, 30% negative. But it raises the question about how, on an ongoing basis, there's a certain level of at least psychic armor, I would think, required to be involved in Planned Parenthood. So it raises the question how you maintain the focus on tasks and, for that matter, attract workers in such a polarized climate.
Well, you know, I mentioned the commitment that we're seeing, particularly in the last several months. I've been at Planned Parenthood for about a year and a half, and I've been a longtime supporter. I was on the board 10 years ago of the same affiliate. So my commitment is strong and deep, and probably deeper than ever in the face of the threat that is in front of us right now. It's not difficult at all. I just, you know, walk into any one of our waiting rooms and see the people who are waiting for services, talking to patients. There's fire in my belly and in the belly of the staff who work with us to continue every day to have the services available that people need. We are not seeing any. We certainly haven't lost any employees as a result of this, and we're not seeing sort of a weakening of resolve in those who are serving our patients. In fact, I think the opposite.
And Sky?
Yes, and just to sort of follow up on that, I've only been with the organization for 6 months, and the mission and service of Planned Parenthood is something I've always believed in and always supported because I know how crucial it is for a healthy community. And even in light of, I think, specifically because of the election, I think I'm more passionate and more fired up and ready to go than ever to support the activities that we provide and services we provide to the community.
Were you in part interested in taking a job with Planned Parenthood because of the climate you saw?
No, not necessarily because of the climate. I came in before the election happened, but certainly, again, just it has motivated me, the election and the threat that we're currently facing, to really step up and do as much as possible to help serve the organization and the clients that we see.
So, Lisa, down to a few seconds here, what is the threat assessment from Planned Parenthood about how serious it looks like that you might lose some funding?
Oh, I think it's very serious, and the Republicans are dead serious about moving forward with a bill, and Planned Parenthood Federation and our affiliate will be absolutely ready to go with a fight-back strategy to challenge on any basis we can put forward the legality of it.
We have not mentioned the Hyde Amendment. That does actually restrict no federal funds can be spent on surgical abortion, correct?
That's right. That is over 40 years old, the Hyde Amendment. That's from the 70s. And I think that's the biggest myth that's perpetuated. There are zero federal dollars currently that go towards abortion care, and that doesn't change, makes it more clear that the attack is on health care.
All right. Lisa Gardner and Sky Lowe from Planned Parenthood of Southwestern Oregon, thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks so much for having us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Jefferson.